It is quite a shrank audience from what we are used to seeing. But that's all right. We can still worship the Lord. Apparently, Peanut was a very popular man, him and LaRonda, because a whole bunch of people went a long ways to see him get married. That's all right. I don't feel like I have a very lengthy message this morning, and partly for two reasons. I know it's a fairly full afternoon with some of y'all going to nursing home singing, and also because at the end of it, if there's time anyway, I wouldn't mind having a little bit of an open discussion. But we may not get around to that. We'll just see how it goes. Figured with a smaller crowd, maybe having a little more of a Sunday school class would be in order. But we'll start here and see where we go. Who can tell me what the fourth commandment is? Anybody want to guess or know offhand? Of the Ten Commandments, what's number four? Nobody want to guess? I'll tell you the truth, if I would have been asked this question without studying it, I actually thought this was commandment number five, so I would have got it wrong. Exodus 20, let's turn there if you want to. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So just for a few thoughts to get us started, what does that even mean to us today? Does it mean anything to us? Was this just a children of Israel thing? Or is this something that we should still consider today? And there's no doubt that the way we were raised and taught has a bearing on how we view this, the Lord's Day. And especially in us Anabaptist circles, we kind of have our traditional ways of how we view the Lord's Day. Are we doing it right or are we doing it wrong? These are some of the things I wouldn't mind talking about afterwards. But so let's talk about, for starters, how it used to be, and then we'll talk about how it is now, and then are we observing it correctly. So Exodus 20, we'll read verses 8 through 11. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I thought the devotional this morning and then the Sunday school class kind of went along fairly well with this. But going back to Exodus here, did you see how many verses he took to describe how to respect the Lord's Day? He used more words in that section on that commandment than any other of the other commandments. So apparently, this was very important to God. And the same thing's true in Deuteronomy 5, where we have him give the commandments again. Wouldn't you think it would be more important to spend time on telling us not to kill and murder or not to commit adultery than to keep the Sabbath day holy? But it was very obviously very important to God. It's almost like he's making sure that they don't overlook this point of keeping the Sabbath day holy. Why is that? Exodus, just a few other scriptures here to reiterate this point. Exodus 16, 22 through 30. And keep in mind here, the Ten Commandments hadn't even been given at this point yet. 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until morning. And they laid it up till morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm in it. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And yeah, in this little scripture we see that people got in serious trouble for trying to go out on the seventh day and work. And it's interesting, the commandments weren't even given yet. Exodus 31, 12 through 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout all the generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Did you hear that? Put to death for violating the Sabbath. For whosoever doth any work therein, his soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh it is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. We'll just stop reading there. And if there's other scriptures, Exodus 35, 1 through 3 has kind of the same thought. Of somebody that's caught working on the Sabbath is to be put to death. Obviously, for whatever reason, this was very important to God. Talk about law and order. And even today, there's Orthodox Jewish people that would adhere to these laws and rules. I've often wondered already, maybe it would do me good to observe a Sabbath kind of the way some of the Jewish people or the Orthodox Jewish people view it. It is quite the process from what I hear. And quite honestly, I'm glad we don't observe it today like they do. But can you imagine, I think they take a 25-hour period, which the Sabbath, which would be on Saturday, 30 minutes before sunset and then 30 minutes after sunrise. And there's candle lightings, there's family meals, there's Bible teachings, and different of the rabbis today would interpret some of these rituals and traditions differently. They are not all Jewish people are aligned at how to observe this. It's kind of a contentious point among some of them from what I've gathered already, but Here, listen to a few of their, what the more conservative ones would do. You can't light a fire on a Sabbath. If a fire is lit before the Sabbath begins, it's allowed to be left burning, but you can't physically strike a match or light a fire. Some of them go as far to unscrew the light bulb out of their refrigerator, things like that. Don't turn on lights. No electronics. Wouldn't that be a day of rest? They turn off their phones, their computers, all that stuff gets shut down. Doesn't sound like too bad of an idea, does it? They can't start their car, which is part of the reason a lot of the Orthodox Jews live in close-knit communities is because they have to walk to synagogue. I guess same reason why some of the Amish live in close-knit communities. They don't yeah, I guess if you don't have means of transportation, you're limited to walking. You tend to group together. They can't travel outside their city. They have restrictions on how far they can even walk. And here's just a list that I pulled up. You can't add fresh water to a vase of cut flowers. You can't make a bouquet of flowers. You can't separate good fruit from spoiled fruit. You can't brush dried mud from your boots or clothing. You can't trim your nails. You can't braid your hair. You can't draw blood for testing. You can't rub soap to make a lather. You can't sharpen a pencil. You can't paint, draw, or type. You can't cut through letters on a packaging. You can't open an umbrella. You can't use the telephone. You can't wind a clock. And some people say you can't wear reading glasses. Like if you wear glasses all the time, that's okay, but you're not allowed to put on reading glasses on and off. Okay, so why do I say that? Just to show you where we came, how it used to be. That's not even nearly a complete list. There's hundreds of these little things that God's people were expected back then to follow. I found it interesting too, some Jewish people will hire or ask favors of their Christian neighbors to come in on the Sabbath and do some of these chores that they're not allowed to do. I guess that's okay. And I don't say these rules and things like that in any way to mock them. There's people today that still adhere to these rules, and I'm not here to mock their religion in any way. But I sure am glad we're not held to this standard today also. It seems like even though some ways it may be more restful, there's so much effort put into following the exact law that I wonder how much rest is actually in it. It seems to me I would always be scared of doing something wrong. So what did Jesus say about the Sabbath? Did he completely abolish it? Are we allowed to do whatever we want to today? And by Sabbath, I'm talking about Sunday, what we call the day of rest. Most people today in America, I don't know that Sunday really means that much to them. A lot of them, it may be a day off of work, but you still, that's your day you do your shopping or you go cut your grass or whatever. It's also been said, and I think this is true, and y'all can correct me on this, that Jesus confirmed all of the Ten Commandments in the New Testament except for remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, he didn't say don't worry about it and it's nothing, and we'll come to that later, but he released us from all the little obligations. Now, I think I'm right in that, and I think I have scripture to back it up, but y'all are welcome to challenge me on that if I'm wrong. Let's see here. I don't agree with the thought that, or I find it uncomfortable to say that we should be able to do anything we want to on the Sabbath or on Sunday, the Lord's day of rest. I'm not personally comfortable with that, but can I point to a spot in Scripture that says I'm a sinner if I go to work on Sunday? I don't think I can, but I don't think it's a good idea. So why don't I go shopping or go to the ball games or all of that if I can't find where I should? Is it just my upbringing or my traditions from the way my parents would have taught me? Is that the only reason I don't? Is that why I feel uncomfortable with it? After all, most people weren't raised the way I was raised and taught by their parents the way I was taught. See, I used to look at Sunday as when I was a boy as kind of a boring day. I liked Sunday school class and I liked to go do that, but when we came home from church in the afternoon, Dad would make us be quiet while he went and took a nap, and that was kind of a boring way for a 5 or 6 year old boy to have a Sunday afternoon. I could look at books, I could take a nap if I wanted to, which I hardly ever wanted to. Now I see how foolish it was not to. But I wasn't allowed to be loud, noisy. It was a quiet afternoon at the Gingrich household when I grew up. So I thought it was kind of a little bit boring back then. So why did Dad and Mom demand that? Why? And I think it's because they knew there's value in a day of rest. They knew there was value in it. And can I stand up here and say somebody's wrong for cutting their grass on Sunday? No, I simply can't. I can't do that. But I never did see Dad go out and cut the grass on Sunday. He wouldn't do it. He would cut it Saturday. He'd fill his car up with gas Saturday night. That was the time you go fill up the car with gas, so you for sure don't have to do it on Sunday. But can I say it's wrong to do any of that stuff? Absolutely not. Colossians 2, let's turn to that. Colossians 2, 14 and 16. Actually, verses 6 through 23 would kind of give us a bigger overview of it, but we'll just read 14 through 16. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. This is talking about the old law. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, in drink, or in respect of holy days, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. And that's where a lot of people would say that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he abolished this Sabbath day mandate, and we are now free to do whatever we want to on the Sabbath day. And I kind of tend to agree with that a little bit. Matthew Henry and Adam Clark would suggest that this new moon and Sabbath day was mostly referring to all the feast days that the Jews kept. There's a host of feast days that were like the Sabbath day for the Jewish nation. And they would suggest that he was referring in this Sabbath day and this new moon, that it was referring to that. But it also included the Sabbath as Sunday as we know it today. So for whatever reason, Jesus didn't confirm this commandment in the New Testament, at least not to the extent that the Pharisees thought he should, or that it should be upheld. And I believe, or I wonder, if it's because the Pharisees took this, for some reason the Pharisees latched onto this, and they took this and they made it an absolute burden on the Jewish nation. The people almost couldn't do anything right for him. And that's why they were so quick to pick on Jesus for picking and eating wheat and healing, etc. on the Sabbath day. It was one of the things they could point at him. And don't forget, they kind of had a grudge against Jesus anyway. So it was pretty easy to pick on him on this. So how should we practice this Sunday today? How should we do it? Should the church decide? Should each person come up with what's comfortable on their own and let that be their guide? How do you do it? I'll just go over a few things that I do, and y'all might think I'm silly, but I have learned that if I prepare myself a little bit Saturday, I can have a much better day of rest on Sunday. And let me explain. If I have animals to feed, I have no qualms of feeding my animals on Sunday. If they're hungry and they need feed and water, I give it to them. But I also have learned that if I do everything, all the chores I can Saturday to make so I don't have to do Sunday, it is a little bit more of a restful day. I can fill my chicken's feeder up with feed and water, so I don't have to do it on Sunday. There's little tasks like that we can do to make Sunday easier. Now, I grew up on a chicken farm, so guess what? Sunday morning, we went down there and we picked up dead chickens. Every day of the week, we did. But there was still some things on the chicken farm. We wouldn't go down there and after the chickens left and clean out the chicken litter on a Sunday. That can wait till Monday. There was aspects of growing up on a chicken farm that we didn't go down there and do some things on Sunday, even though there was things we had to do. Something else that I used to, we kind of outgrew it now, but one of my boys, here's what happens on Saturdays, used to happen, still does sometimes. Saturdays are so precious to me because they're my day off of work, and so it's my day to cram everything in it and do everything that I possibly can, and I run around and I do it, and then I'm exhausted, and I can't crash into bed late Saturday night, and then you can't figure out why you're not well rested for Sunday. And there was a time one of my boys he didn't want to take naps. So we'd hold out thinking he maybe wouldn't take a nap. And then about 4 or 5 o'clock, he'd fall asleep. And then he'd wake up about 7 on Saturday night. And guess what? A boy that had a nap till 7 o'clock Saturday night doesn't go to sleep very well that night. So what happens? You go to bed late Saturday night. You put him to bed late. Next morning, guess what? He went to bed late, so he sleeps late. So he wakes up about 9, about time it's ready to go to church, and you're trying to quick feed him breakfast. You're trying to quick get him ready. He's grumpy because he just got out of bed. You're grumpy because he didn't get up early enough. And then it just has a way of starting Sunday out bad. And we learned finally that if a little bit of parenting, a little bit of guidance, put the boy to bed at right time on his nap time. He gets up a little. He'll get up earlier. He'll go to bed earlier. It just works better on Sunday morning. Maybe that's a poor example, but that's one of the ways we found. It was a parenting problem, not a child problem. All right, let's talk about some areas I'm inconsistent in. How's that? Think about this for a little bit. And I'm just going over a few of these things. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not condemning myself. It's just some things I had to think about. What's my thought process here? So do any of y'all maybe ever go on a Sunday afternoon drive? I know I do. It's kind of a good time to load up the family and go on a Sunday afternoon drive, either a four-wheeler or a pickup truck. And I got no issue with that. But what's the difference between that and taking my boat to the lake and going out on the lake? Why, for some reason that in my mind I wouldn't do. But why is that? What's the difference? Is it because Dad never did? I don't know. Just something to think about. What about fishing or hunting on Sunday? A lot of people fish and hunt on Sunday. It's not work, so why not? I guess I have anything against it if other people want to go fishing and hunting on Sunday, but I just don't do it. Probably because Dad never did. I don't know. But at the same time, if an armadillo runs across the yard I've been trying to shoot for weeks, I'll shoot him on a Sunday. And so am I inconsistent? Maybe, very likely. We don't go grocery shopping on Sunday. But I'm pretty quick to scroll through Craigslist or fill up the eBay cart and then I'll buy it on Monday morning. What's the difference? Just some things to think about. What about spending? Mom always kind of had a thing about you don't spend money on Sunday unless you absolutely have to. So if we were on a trip, we'd buy gas or we'd buy food. But if you're at home, you don't go buy gas or food at the store. What about writing a check? And I don't have any issue with this, but so I don't spend money on Sunday more than necessary, but I'll write a check Saturday night and I'll stick it in somebody's mailbox Sunday morning. What really is the difference? Another thing I've thought about already is Sunday is one of our times where we invite company over, and we get invited out Sundays too. And it's a good time to go. Everybody's off work, right? So let's have company over. And sometimes it makes it a very busy day for the wife. It's not very much of a day of rest for her if she's running around cooking all the time. And I just say that for you wives, don't be ashamed if you invite company over and all you have is a very simple meal. I don't find that embarrassing at all. Don't feel like you have to have the top-notch gourmet meal when you have company over on Sundays. Make it a day of rest and relaxing. Don't wear yourself out just to impress somebody with your cooking skills. And like today, we have church, and then there's a fellowship lunch, and then there's a group going to nursing home singing. I have no problem with any of that. I think it's good. I think it's wonderful. But it has crossed my mind already, how much of a day of rest is that for some people? And I know my brother-in-law in Africa, Wimford, has already mentioned that Sunday is one of their busiest days. Monday's like their day of rest because he's pastor. And he gets up early, and it's a day of study. It's a day of preaching. And I know he's made the comment already. He wondered if he's doing it right. Is it a day of rest? It's not really a day of rest for him, so is he doing it right? It's just some things to think about. Jesus did say in Mark 2:27, he said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Meaning, I believe, it was intended for a day of rest and worship. And we humans are much better off if we take a day off. We really are. I know a lot of Americans don't take a day of rest like we would consider. But I have found it interesting in rural Arkansas. I don't mind at all drinking my cup of coffee out on the front porch on a Sunday morning if it's nice weather. And the traffic count, there's almost nobody that goes by my house on a Sunday morning. I live on a state highway. I know it's not that busy of a road, but the traffic count between 7 and 8 on a Sunday morning is pretty small. I've already sat out there for 15-20 minutes and not seen one car go past, and I think that's great. I think it's awesome. I don't know that they're necessarily going to church, but they're taking a day of rest, and I think it's good. All right, I said we're going to have a little bit of an open discussion, didn't I? What? Y'all can criticize me. Maybe I'm off my rocker on some of this stuff. Maybe I old-fashioned. Maybe I'm not old-fashioned enough. What do y'all think? How do y'all view the Lord's Day of Rest? And in any of those practical points I mentioned, is there something that I'm maybe too liberal on or not conservative enough on? Does anybody have any thoughts?